They may be allies, but according to Donald Trump, things aren't right between the U.S. and Japan when it comes to trade. The U.S. president pointing to, quote, decades of massive trade deficits with Tokyo on Monday, speaking at a joint news conference alongside Japanese leader Shinzo Abe. Trump also had praise for Japan for buying U.S. military hardware and hinted that the country might be in the market to make a few more purchases, especially when it comes to dealing with North Korean missiles.
Sprint and T-Mobile are falling this morning after merger talks were called off, dashing investor hopes for a wireless mega merger. The industry now may return to intense price wars that have pressured profits.
They probably couldn't agree on control. As you know, Deutsche Telekom owns about 64% of T-Mobile. They wanted John Legere to continue to run the wireless company. SoftBank owns Sprint. They were worried about giving up control.
Shock announcement by Lebanon's prime minister on Saturday. Saad al-Hariri resigning and plunging Lebanon into political crisis. Now, Iran-backed Lebanese group Hezbollah are saying Saudi Arabia forced him to do it. In a televised address from the Saudi capital Riyadh, al-Hariri said he feared for his life, adding that the climate in Lebanon is the same as when his father, the late Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri, was assassinated in 2005.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's November 7th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day is underway. We've got a good show for you this morning. A little bit later in the program, Mark Hopper will be here. He's the SVP of Expositions at the Media Fabricators and Manufacturers Association. The FabTech Chicago Conference is underway, and we will be talking about fabrication and manufacturing, business of that, a little bit later on in the show. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Asian stocks surged today after Wall Street posted modest gains on deal reports and turmoil in Saudi Arabia sent crude prices soaring. On the board this morning, Asian markets are generally mixed now as we look at the board. The Nikkei is going to finish up about 389 points. That's good for almost 2%. The Hang Seng up 397. That's a percent and a half as well. The Shanghai up about 25 points. The FTSE in London is lower this morning, leading off European stocks this morning. The DAX is just up a fraction, and the CAC is down about 7 points. Futures in this country are pointing toward opening gains when Wall Street opens up for business later this morning for the opening bell. The Dow futures right now are up about 28 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up just a fraction each. Oil at $57.39 a barrel, which is up just 4 cents. A couple of stories that we are watching for you this morning. The Republican tax overhaul bill would repeal the deduction for medical expenses. That means millions of people unlucky enough to face big medical bills not covered by their insurance would lose a valuable and versatile tax break. It can offset costs for nursing home care, fertility treatments, even transportation to a hospital in another state. Groups representing older people and patients are trying to save the deduction and may get help from the Senate. House GOP tax writers say overall rates will be lower with fewer tax breaks. About 9 million households, 6% of tax filers, claim the medical deduction, expense deduction. The annual cost of that is about $10 billion. We're learning more about those leaked papers revealing investments in tax havens by the world's wealthiest that suggest several Russian oligarchs have registered private jets in the Isle of Man, avoiding taxes in Russia. Russia's news agency, which shared some of the Paradise Papers with other organizations, reported late yesterday that 17 jets have been registered in the Isle of Man, a crown of dependency of the U.K. Jets were registered on behalf of individuals, including Russian President Vladimir Putin's childhood friends, according to these reports. Indonesian authorities say they will block access to the popular WhatsApp instant messaging app if it doesn't remove sexually explicit content. The Ministry of Communications and Information Technology says it has already asked internet companies to block domain names used by Tenor, which provides animated image files known as GIFs or GIFs through WhatsApp. The government has sent 3 notices to WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook. American Airlines and a subsidiary will pay $9.8 million in stock to settle claims that they failed to help disabled employees return to work. Federal officials say American and Envoy Air fired or put some workers on unpaid leave instead of making reasonable efforts to reassign them. The workers' disabilities ranged from cancer to back and knee injuries. A lawsuit and consent decree issued on Friday in federal court in Phoenix said that 12 former workers and other similar circumstances were involved. The agency says violations of the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act occurred from 2009 through 2015. Blue Cross Blue Shield insurer Anthem has picked a former top executive from the its biggest competitor to replace Joseph Swedish as its next CEO. Anthem said that Gail Bordeaux will start November 20th. Swedish will serve as executive until May and then as senior advisor for the next couple of years. A statement issued by Anthem gave no reason for the departure of Swedish, but a company spokesperson said the change has been part of succession planning by the company's board of directors for more than a year.
ABC News, Wall Street Now, a break for shoppers from Target on Thanksgiving. The Minneapolis-based discounter says its stores will reopen at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving and then close at midnight, then reopen at 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Last year, Target stores were open through the night. Online deals available starting the Monday before Thanksgiving. CVS is looking to gain an edge on its competition by offering prescription deliveries to its customers. The drugstore chain's big store network puts 70% of the U.S. population within 3 miles of one of its locations. Early next year, CVS will expand next-day deliveries nationwide. Asian stocks surged today. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 rose about 3 points, while the Dow added about 9 points, and the NASDAQ gained 22 points. I'm Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Conservice, the leading provider of enterprise ag management solutions based in Minneapolis, is with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. We're happy to have Pat Christie, the founder and executive vice president of business development there at Conservice. Pat, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit for our listeners who are not aware of what Conservice does, what you're all about.
Sure. Well, the nature of farming at its roots, you know, the family on the farm across the world is moving to a digital environment. And what we've done is we've actually built the operating system, the foundation for all of this digital technology to come together and to be made useful for the farmer. So we're a cloud system that connects with tractors, connects with the workers in the field, connects with the markets, the accounting information to actually bring a business system to the farm.
A lot of folks, I think, probably don't realize it. Maybe they, when they think about it, they do. But there's a lot of technology and digital aspects to agriculture and farming. I'm going to guess that farmers really couldn't survive without some of the software like the kind Conservice provides.
It's a great question. I think you're absolutely right. In fact, in some cases, there's so much technology coming to the farm that making it useful, just like in our own daily lives. You know, how do I actually, as a farmer, put these technologies to work and not only produce an efficient product or crop, but make money? And as all these technologies start to come to the farm, everything from tractors that drive themselves to utilizing the best recipe for a crop, whether it be lower nitrogen, a better seed, bringing all that together into one place is where the opportunity lies for the farmer to really to be efficient and to be sustainable.
Has agriculture become space age yet, as you were describing what farmers are doing? I'm imagining that, you know, you open the barn doors and there's the mission control.
It's amazing, actually. It's across the board, but it is incredible the the space age technology. It is space age. Satellite imagery, GPS coordinates that allow the farmer to plan every aspect of what happens in the field. And the fact that things like smartphones and tablets and the internet have become more and more ubiquitous across the world is changing the possibilities for the farmer. I mean, you know, not only in the U.S. are we super advanced in terms of our space age technology, but even if you go to places in Africa and India, you're seeing mobile technologies come into the hands of subsistence farmers.
I'm guessing it's a financial thing when all of the information and data that you've described flies freely and easily between not only the farmer but people he deals with on a daily basis, like places where he's selling his crops, to insurance companies, to the government. All of them talk seamlessly on your platform, don't they?
Yes, that is the goal. Some more seamlessly than others, but you're absolutely right. And think of farming as a manufacturing process. And just like every modern manufacturing environment, they've enjoyed a lot of technology over the years to really, you know, be really efficient, find ways to make more money. It's very similar to what's happening in the farm. It's taking information from their suppliers, the folks that they buy things from, and giving control to the farmer, actually giving them the ability to make better decisions with modern systems.
Yeah, because when you're trying to manage these ag places, the farms, and other operations, every dollar counts. And if you can cut a little here, cut a little there, and make something easier, that's the goal. I'm curious. You mentioned the farm, tractors that are driving themselves now. That's a thing now that's actually happening. As we advance here, what do you see in the next 5 to 10 years in your area of expertise here?
Great question. So by being able to bring all this information together, I mean, it's inevitable that these things are coming to the farm. And what it's going to allow is it's going to allow the farmer to make better decisions looking forward. So what type of crops should they grow even before they put anything in the ground? It's also going to help them deal with labor shortages. I mean, we have an incredible declining population in rural America that wants to be on the farm. And so, you know, the need for farm products hasn't changed. The margin, especially today for a lot of commodity crops, is really tight. So how do we make sure the farmer has the best tools to be in control, to deal with scarce resources, you know, water, people, money as a scarce resource, to be profitable and succeed? And data, information technologies, is one really important way to bring them there. And bringing these data pieces together is where the advantage lies.
One of the topics that's really big and heavy these days is providing more data access, and I'm talking about the actual infrastructure, the broadband lines, the ability to connect to high-speed internet in rural areas. How big is that to the success of farms?
It's becoming very important. Getting access, we could argue that rural high-speed internet access is as important as electricity or running water. It's access to technology that's cost-effective. It's a conduit for connecting to data systems in real time, and frankly, it's the expansion of technology into all of rural America. So it is really critical for farmers.
Pat, give us an idea where we can find out more information, where you might be soon, where we can go online to get more information about Conservice.
Sure, great. Our website's a great place to start, www.conservicecorp.com. We'll be in Chicago at the AgDTN conference December 4th through the 6th, which is a great conference to get to know a lot about what's happening in agriculture. And we're everywhere in the U.S., so just give us a shout, and we'll come see you.
All right, very good. Pat, good of you to be with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Pat Christie, founder and EVP of Business Development at Conservice. You can also follow them on Twitter at Conservice Core. That's on Twitter, and again, online at conservicecore.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. A top executive is out at Outcome Health, and several advertisers have suspended deals with the fast-growing Chicago tech company after the Wall Street Journal found Outcome was misleading advertisers on the performance of its ads. Vivek Kundra, Outcome COO and a former Obama and Salesforce alum, has left Outcome after less than a year. Bristol-Myers Squibb, one of Outcome's largest advertisers, is among those who've yet to renew their deals for 2018, pending an audit of Outcome's ad performance. Impact Engine has announced that Roger Liu will be joining the VC firm as an operating partner. Liu is a well-known Chicago technologist in Chicago and is the current chief technology officer at ShopRunner and the former CTO at Orbitz. And Grubhub has a new Snapchat strategy for attracting hungry college kids. The Chicago-based food delivery company has launched an in-app game called Foods Here, where students can play a game and earn Grubhub credits for more levels they pass. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of the program. This week in Chicago, FabTech, the conference 2017 is underway at McCormick Place. This is everything to do with metal fabrication, all the tools that go with that as well, welding and finishing needs. We're happy to have with us this morning the SVP of Expositions and Media at Fabrications and Manufacturers Associations to talk about FabTech. Mark Hooper is here with us. Mark, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me this morning.
We're glad you're here. I know it was probably a long day yesterday for you. Give our listeners a sense of what this conference is about.
Sure. So FabTech is North America's largest metal forming and fabricating trade show. And when I say metal, I'm really referring to sheet metal, plate and structural, and tube and pipe forming and fabricating. And then, as you mentioned, we've also got very large pavilions dedicated to both welding and finishing technology, which is very synergistic to forming and fabricating. And then new this year, Steve, we actually added a new pavilion dedicated to 3D printing or additive manufacturing.
I want to talk more about that coming up, too, because that's a huge deal these days. 1,700 exhibitors, 50,000 attendees, all there for all of the conferences. I saw yesterday's schedule, today's schedule. It's just jam-packed with events. If you had to pick something out of here that would be the headline conference or the most important of all of these, what would it be?
Well, we've got over 150 technical seminars that are going on that really focus on everything from how-to technical sessions to best manufacturing sessions. So to pick one would be difficult for sure. This morning we do have a keynote going on by Richard Rawlings starting at 9 o'clock this morning from the reality TV series Fast and Loud. So that might be something that they would be interested in coming down and seeing.
We wanted to have you on because this really, whether we know it or not, impacts all of us. Give us a sense of things in our lives that are fabricated, or the people who are attending your conference make for us.
Virtually, your life is full of parts that have been manufactured, everything from your parts of your automobile, your refrigerator, the furniture that's in your home, any place that you see a piece of sheet metal or plate that's been cut or bent or welded. Those are all products that are going to be fabricated at, many of those fabricated parts are not going to necessarily be the end product, but they're going to be parts within the product.
You mentioned earlier the 3D part of this. I think that's the sexy part of fabricating these days, isn't it? 3D imaging, 3D designing, 3D cutting, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, 3D printing is a technology that's really been around for probably 30, 35 years, but it's just now entering mainstream manufacturing processes. And what it is you're not taking a piece of metal and removing parts or chipping parts, but you're actually starting from nothing and adding metal to manufacture the part. And it offers just a ton of flexibility that, just a few years ago wasn't available to us.
What are the issues facing your industry? Is it finding qualified people to run the machines and do this work, or is it keeping up with the technology?
It's a combination of those things. What has been trending at FabTech over the last several years, without question, is automation. And the reason for that is a skills gap that manufacturers are having where they can't find enough people to actually do the manufacturing for them. So they're filling that gap with automation, and it really comes in a variety of methods. But automation is absolutely huge, and you'll see it all over that show floor for sure.
And that's another topic we cover a lot here on this program is automation. Are you talking about the automation that could potentially replace workers someday?
Well, yes, to some degree. North America manufactures more today than they ever have in the history of the United States. And we're doing that with less workers. Now, that doesn't say that the worker, the human worker, is going to be replaced. However, we're going to be looking for a different worker. It's going to be a worker that's going to need to be skilled in computer training, certainly math skills. But the worker is never going to go away, but the kind of worker that we're going to be needing is going to be changing.
If somebody is listening to this right now and thinking, hey, this might be a field I might want to get into, what was the first step here? Where should they be looking, and what kinds of coursework should they be going into?
Harper College right here in the Chicagoland area has a fantastic program that they could go to, and in 2 short years they could be trained in welding, how to run a laser, how to bend metal with a press break. It's a fantastic program that they have going on out there. And I'll tell you, we have a partnership with them. And one of the biggest problems that they actually have is that before the students even finish their 2-year degree, they're getting snapped up by manufacturers. So if somebody listening to this program and is looking for a career change or an opportunity as they enter their career, man, I'd take a look at Harper College.
Definitely. I was going through your Twitter feed, and a couple of things jumped off at me. I think like most industry and business, there's a lot of optimism among folks in your industry about expanding. And one of the stats that I saw were that 80% of manufacturing companies are ready to invest in capital equipment, to reinvest or invest in capital equipment. What does that mean for your industry?
Well, that's very good for us. That's for sure. Yes, that's correct. Over the last couple of years, manufacturers have been making parts about as fast as they can. It's been very good over the last couple of years. However, there was definitely some uncertainty out there in the industry in 2016. We had the election going on. So as far as the manufacturer's willingness to invest in capital equipment, it was a little bit slow in 2016. 2017 started out a little bit slow, but by about June, man, the flip switched, and manufacturers are definitely spending money on investing into capital equipment, building staff, et cetera.
I'm sure there's a lot of smiles on the conference floor this week from folks. I have to ask you before we let you go, Mark, there's on the website, FabTechExpo.com, there's a clock counting down to a big announcement on November 9th. Any hints on what that might be?
Well, I think that you need to show up on the show floor to see that one. Okay. I would get in trouble if I spilled the beans on that one.
All right. Well, we will we will definitely stay tuned. Mark, it's good of you to be with us this morning, and best of luck for the rest of the event.
Steve, thank you very much for the opportunity to come on.
Mark Hooper is the SVP of Expositions and Media Fabrications and Manufacturers Associations. You can, again, find more about the expo, which goes through the 9th, which is Thursday, at fabtechexpo.com. And make sure you follow them on Twitter as well. You can get the very latest at fabtechexpo. On Twitter, at Fab Tech Expo.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we're looking for a flat to positive open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures up 22 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are now in the negative. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The weekly harvest progress report out yesterday afternoon, pretty much in line with what the trade expected. Soybean harvest, 90% complete. The trade was looking for 91%. Corn harvest, 70% complete. And the trade was looking for 69%. So no big impact from those numbers, obviously. A little surprise, I thought, in the wheat market, export market yesterday. Iraq's trade ministry confirmed yesterday it had purchased 500,000 tons of U.S. wheat in a direct purchase deal outside of the tender process. 300,000 tons bought from Cargill, 150,000 tons from ADM, and the other 50,000 from an unnamed firm. So at the day yesterday, we saw soybeans gaining 7.25 cents, wheat gaining 5 cents a bushel, corn December down just 0.25 cents. As far as the livestock picture yesterday at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle futures took it on the chin. Funds rolled the December contract and simultaneously bought deferred ahead of similar moves they'll be making today. Today is the first of 5 days when funds in livestock markets following the S&P Goldman Sachs Commodity Index sell December and then roll into long positions, mainly in February and April. The November crop report comes up Thursday. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. A couple of other stories that we're watching for you this morning. The clock is ticking down to the holidays. ABC's Daria Alvinger says there is a way to find deals on popular gifts before they go on sale.
The holiday shopping season is almost here, and it's a good bet that someone on your gift list will ask for a smart speaker. Brent Shelton with DealCrunch.com says buy them now.
They're going to be included as throw-ins on big-ticket items. Those are the deals that you're going to want to look for, because that way you'll be able to pick up an Amazon Echo or a Dot or a Google Home for free.
He says they may be hard to find by Black Friday. Shelton also suggests stocking up on cookware, glasses, cutlery, things that you may need for Thanksgiving dinner.
You can catch a deal before Black Friday and save some money and get to use it.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Target is offering breathers to shoppers on Thanksgiving. Minneapolis-based discounter says it'll open at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving and then close at midnight local time. Its stores will then reopen at 6 a.m. local time on Friday until 10 p.m., 11 p.m. Or midnight local time. That's different from last year when the stores were open through the night. Target will again offer Black Friday deals at Target.com of the morning of Thanksgiving in a lead up to the holiday. It'll dangle select deals starting Monday, as it has for the past 4 years, Monday of Black Friday holiday week. Broadcom made an unsolicited $103 billion offer for rival chipmaker Qualcomm, the tech industry's largest attempted takeover that is destined to come under intense regulatory scrutiny. The company said yesterday that it would not have pushed forward with the proposed buyout if it was not confident its global consumers would embrace the deal. It's not clear who Broadcom was referring to, but Apple is Qualcomm's biggest customer. Qualcomm and Apple have been locked in a long-running battle, with Apple refusing to pay any royalties owed to Qualcomm for some of the features of the iPhone. And now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, November 7th. The Labor Department today will release a report on job openings and labor turnover, while the Federal Reserve will issue a report on consumer credit data for September. National unemployment has reached a 17-year low of 4.1%. The October jobs report released last Friday showed pay gains remain sluggish, and the explanations include weak worker productivity and still low proportion of adults with jobs. But employers did add a solid 261,000 jobs. This happened at least in part because many businesses in Texas and Florida reopened after having been forced to shut down in September when hurricanes Harvey and Irma hit. Also today, the House Natural Resources Committee, an oversight hearing on Puerto Rico recovery. President Trump continues his visit to Asia. He is in South Korea today, and the CSIS Global Security Forum is happening today as well. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, November 7th.